anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app. Download it now. 97.1 WASHFM,
Washington. I drink Dr. Pepper, don't you see? 'Cause it's the perfect taste for me. That original taste, you know, is making peppers everywhere I go. There's potent peppers, toting peppers, cooking peppers, good-looking peppers. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Us peppers are an interesting breed. An original taste is what we need. Ask any pepper and he'll say,
only Dr. Pepper tastes that way.
There's carrying peppers, marrying peppers, dying peppers, quiet peppers. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? There's saluting peppers, tooting peppers.
Mama the pepper man.
Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Be a pepper, dream Dr. Pepper.
Aye, aye.
Be a pepper, dream Dr. Pepper.
Yes, sir.
Be a pepper.
The best podcast for whatever you're into, and I mean whatever, from true crime to history, comedy to food, and dozens of other topics. In fact, there's over 25,000 podcasts, but don't get overwhelmed, it's cool. iHeartRadio makes it easy to browse and find the ones perfect for you, and listening is always free, even if you want to download them to your phone so you can listen offline, like on a plane. If you're going to take the podcast plunge, let iHeartRadio be your podcast player.
Are you going to bark all day? Little doggy.
What have you done? Where are we?
Greetings from the Humongous, the Lord Humongous, the warrior of the wasteland, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
I'm gravely disappointed.
Thomas, keep the gun on him. He's definitely a criminal.
From the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and yesterday, it's the real Retro Radio Live.
Take your stinking paws off me, you dirty ape.
Be prepared. We're in modulation mode. Get ready for takeoff.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you. Tell me thoughts they cannot defend, just what you want to be. reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I've always missed, with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you.
Right, WASH 97.1 iHeartRadio, Washington, Baltimore, Global. Everybody that knows me knows that I love my toys. I've turned my office into a retro toy shop with posters and Migos everywhere. The hardest part for me, I think, at the point of telling people that I love Migo is having to explain that they're 8 inches. I have got a very special guest. He has fanned the flames of Migo for a very long time. It is absolutely, absolutely, I've been waiting so long on my hands and knees begging this guy to come on, the Doctor of Style, Paul Clark. How are you, man?
Doing great.
So I'm going to tell you my story, and then I got to hear everything about yours, okay? growing up, and again, for everybody that doesn't know, I'm 56 years old. I grew up in the 70s and the 80s in minority neighborhoods. And I remember 8 or 9 years old, falling, having my first ice skating lesson and falling and having a concussion. And I was in the hospital for a couple of weeks. My mother asked me what I wanted. And I said I wanted a Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock action figures. And they showed up. Those were my first two Migos. And the floodgates opened for me as a kid. I mean, I used my Migo. I actually started collecting them, you know, because I guess, you know, my dad at that time had the Hess trucks. You know, you'd get them at Thanksgiving from the Hess gas station, and he'd give me one to play with, and he'd put one away. And I kind of just did that with my Migos. I would get, I mean, again, they were $1.99 or $2.49 or whatever they were at the time. And I'd put one away, and I'd use the other ones to create my own adventures. You know, have Hulk versus Thing and have, you know, my Star Trek playset go to all these different planets and do all these great things. And I packed all my stuff up. I mean, I still have it in a giant sealed bin, all my original ones that were unfolded. And I guess, you know, through garage sales throughout the years, we just sold the loose ones for a dollar or 25 cents or whatever it was at the time. So 50 years have passed, literally, since Migo, and 40-something for me of being a fan of them. And I saw that they were coming back out, and I've said, yeah, I've had... I was actually worried that it was going to hurt. And I'm not really a value guy, like, because I'm never going to sell them, but I thought they were going to hurt the originals, like, price-wise. Like, you know, does it take anything away from them? And I saw the Supermans and the Batmans and the Robins and the Star Trek ones come out, and I've been like, I've had those, and I did that. And one day, what was it, back in... last July, I think it was, or the following July, I'm in Target, and I passed Professor Zoom. And I went, my heart opened up. My heart opened up like the floodgates. I said, oh, my God, is that Amigo? Lord and behold, it's Amigo, 50th anniversary, you know, Marty Abrams Presents. And I literally, every Amigo I have now, and I have got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, I've got like 35 of the new ones. And these are all ones that I never had as a kid. I got the ones that I didn't have. I didn't have a Green Arrow. I didn't have a Kid Flash. I didn't have a Flash. They didn't make them then, you know? How did you fall into this Migo world?
Well, I started at age 7.
Wow.
In 1972.
Okay.
My mom, my brother, and I went to 5 and 10 in Mineola, New York.
Yep.
And there on the shelf was Removal Mask Batman and Robin.
Wow.
And my brother and I had been watching Batman on reruns on TV.
Forever, yeah.
And my superhero was there too. And my mom said, okay, you can each get one.
Hmm.
And my brother's like, I'll be Robin. Every time we played Batman Robin, he was Robin.
That's cool.
And I was Batman. So I was like, oh, I guess I'll get Batman. But I'm looking at Superman going, oh, he looks so cool.
Do you still have your Batman?
No. Okay. Every Migo I had had to be given away in September of 1976 when I started the 7th grade. My mother said, you're too old to be playing with dolls.
Yeah.
Get rid of them. And I said, oh, I'll put them in the basement. She goes, oh, no. You'll just go back.
Yep.
So it had to be a real intervention. I had to give them to my friend's brother, who promptly destroyed them all.
Yeah. I remember seeing guys.
That's what makes a collector.
I'll tell you, I remember seeing kids with BB guns, you know, shooting at them with the G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
You know,
it's disposable. Toys are disposable.
You see the prices of these of the originals now? Like,
I'm sorry.
Have you actually, like, do you keep up with the prices or the collectability of the older ones?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, like seeing that Romulan go for thousands of dollars, mint on card.
Well, it actually didn't sell well, so a lot of them just got clearanced out or landfilled.
Wow.
Remains is gone for a premium.
Right.
If there's no demand, there's no increase. It's, you know, it's just an old toy.
Like all those E.T. Atari games. I remember seeing that documentary.
Those were put in a landfill on purpose.
as opposed to just trash going out. So yes. Okay.
But I mean, collectors are people who had to end the relationship.
Yeah.
They didn't decide to. It's always traumatic.
I didn't know that I still had this love. Like, it was never a fad for me because I've always loved retro toys. Always. You know, I mean, I still have all my Star Wars stuff. I still have three Darth Vaders, you know, mint on card. I still have all that stuff. But Migos, 8-inch Migos, just always was like just part of my development as a child. You know, it broadened your imagination. I mean, today they've got all these video games and all these things.
It reaches right in.
It does. Absolutely does. And the playsets helped, you know.
Absolutely.
So fast forwarding to Mego going out of business. Okay.
Mm-hmm. 1982.
Yeah. You have become Dr. Mego. Like what?
Yes. Since 1997.
You've been Dr. Mego. Like, I'm going to say this, like just in 1990, when you came up with the Dr. Mego moniker, you were pretty much convinced that Mego was dead, correct?
Oh yeah. No, I found out at a flea market in the late 80s when I was buying Migos from a guy, and he said, they went out of business in 1982.
Wow.
And I knew at that moment I had to bring back this company.
You have done so. You literally like fanned the flame forever.
Absolutely. I started Dr. Mego in 1997 when I found out I wasn't the only grown man that was playing with Migos. That was when I found the Mego Museum.
I was actually on the board of the Mego Museum, and I didn't stay
There's
long.
A board?
Yeah, there was actually a board. Like an old Geosites board, like a
okay, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Okay. Yes. There was then they set up a thing called the Levy List.
Okay.
There was a guy named Robert Levy who set up an email carveting. Anytime you post, everybody would see it.
Right.
And you'd see everyone else's. And this is how we started this community. This was before, the message boards.
Okay. Yeah, because I had actually pulled out some of my Migos. I was going through, I was just going through my stuff, you know, like I always do. And I actually found some loose ones. I found about 7 or 8 loose ones that were in very bad shape. I mean, not physically, but the first thing that seems to go on the Batmans and the Supermans are the capes.
Like absolutely.
They get frayed.
They're only nylon.
Right. So I pulled a bunch of them out and I got on the board and internet was fairly new then, but I just always seem to get into arguments with people at Mego and I'm just like, ugh, like, let me just get out of here. Like it just wasn't for me. And not until I bought that reverse flash, the Dr. Zoom, did I actually go back full fledged. I mean, I have every new Planet of the Apes figure. I've got every single one of the 50th anniversary World's Greatest Superheroes, except for the Penguin. For some reason, I'm just not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not a Penguin. I'm not Penguin friendly.
You must have the vintage.
Yeah, I do. I do. Absolutely, I do. And they're all still in the original boxes.
There's much I can do with them.
They're all still in the original boxes. I have a Kid Flash, but I didn't keep them carded. I have a loose Kid Flash, and then I bought another one from somebody else that we won't even talk about. Mm. But for display purposes, no. I mean, it's funny because I bought these bookshelves, these thin bookshelves or these display bookshelves, and I put them up in my office. Three people have all contacted me saying, we love what you did with that. You know, we're going to do the same exact thing. What happened to the original tools? Do we know?
Oh, they were sold at auction. When the company went out of business, the factory just put up the steel for auction. Right. It would either be melted down or used for another company. For years, Bible figures or something, some knockoff ninja kept getting produced.
Okay.
And ultimately, the molds just give out.
Oh, okay. So they've been gone.
Oh yeah, yeah. I had to start everything from scratch.
Wow.
With my own money.
Oh, I know.
At a time.
Oh, I know.
Tooled the body in 2001.
I know what things cost. And you, like, all I pictured, honestly, because I met you through Jeff Beckett, God, 20 years ago.
Okay.
At one of the Comic-Cons. And all I could picture was you having giant bins at your house just filled with, like, oven mitts or filled with boots. And, like, you.
I wish.
if you
know what it is?
Yes.
I have boxes from the factory of China-made stuff. But I have 500 items on my website. 100 of them come from China.
Right.
The other 400 are made by me in my garage.
Wow. See, I didn't know that.
So I wish I had bins of things. I just never, I'm producing pretty much as orders come in.
I didn't know that either. That's a lot of work. And you still do it.
Yeah. Yes, I have to. I can't quit it.
And now you work for Mego. Yes, maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
During the week. Sunday, I'm in my garage filling Dr. Mego orders.
How did that come about? Did Mego just call you one day? Did Marty Abrams call you?
No, I met Marty in 2004 at MegoCon. And I called him that Monday and said, I want to bring back Mego.
Huh.
And he said, yeah, sure. You and a lot of other guys.
You and everybody else.
Yeah. Why don't you show me that you're serious? Go get a license like Star Trek and come talk to me.
Oh, here you go, so dealing with CBS and Paramount.
It took me 2 years.
Yep.
And I got the Star Trek license through Diamond Select.
Oh. You know, tell me if I'm wrong, okay? I remember dealing with Diamond Select years ago, and it was owned by an ex-cop. Is that true?
What was his name?
Jeff Beckett, again, introduced me to him. And I know, and I'm not trying to hear it a bad mouth, I'm just telling you what I've, you know, observed. I'm not, and just to let everybody know, the opinions of Paul Clark and myself have nothing to do with iHeartRadio, its affiliates and sponsors, nor does it have anything to do with Mego Corporation, its affiliates and or sponsors. These are our personal opinions, things that we have observed, things that we're allowed to talk about, and things that we wish upon. Okay? Just so nobody gets sued. I was told later on that Diamond Select would have to do it on a retail level. You would have to have a minimum. Like, you'd have to spend a minimum of $5,000, and 80% of the stuff that usually came into retail was broken, and he wouldn't take returns. That's the last I heard about Diamond Select.
Diamond Select Toys is a division of Diamond Comics.
Oh, okay.
So, Diamond Select Toys is run by Chuck DeSera.
Okay. Did he used to be a cop?
I don't know.
I think he was. I think that's him.
I didn't know he worked in any other job besides Diamond.
Oh, okay.
Diamond promotes from within.
I love their stuff. Some of it.
Diamond Comics may have a no return policy or you know, minimums.
Okay.
You know, but everything Diamond Select makes, Diamond Comics buys.
So now, okay, so, because I want one, and I asked you to sell me one the other day. You were still going to find me one. You had made a Captain Pike, Jeffrey Hunter, Mego.
Yes.
For Diamond Select.
Yes.
How did that happen?
2010, 2009, I'm trying to remember. That was, the Star Trek license has likeness.
Right.
The sculptor for that was James Brady, who had done Sulu and Chekhov and the Gorn. And he's a huge Star Trek fan and a great sculptor. He just did our Andorian ambassador.
I watched the Babylon episode last night, actually.
Yeah.
I'm actually in love with the Talosian figure you guys made.
Thank you. That's me too.
I've been
wanting to do that for 25 years.
And just to let everybody know, I am all about Absolutely Retro, and let me tell you why. I have pre-ordered stuff, and it's gotten canceled, or it comes ruined, or creased, or cracked, or broken, absolutely retro. If you want crisp, fast shipping and professional packaging, you want to get your pre-orders in. I actually put my pre-orders in for my Dr. Fate, my Dead Man, Red Tornado. And then I went back because I wanted to buy second ones. I'm looking all over the internet. Mostly all these companies are all pre-sold out of pre-orders. Go to absolutelyretro.com. They have them, and you will get exactly what you pay for on time. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Frank Wojo is absolutely retro.
He's the man.
He orders straight from the distributor by the case. And when he goes through his cases and finds damaged ones, he puts them to the side to sell at shows in person. So people can see it, decide, you know, everything he ships is beautiful.
I love it. I love it. So, yeah, they are actually sponsoring the show tonight. He's absolutely, I love talking to him about Mego too. I've been trying to get you on forever. So you
really?
Oh my God.
I'm not hard.
You're busy.
I'll do a Mego interview with anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Dude, you are always so busy. I wanted to ask you though, so how did you get this Captain Pike in front of Diamond Select?
Well, no, we started, Diamond Select had the Star Trek license.
Right.
We went to them in 2007 and said, we'd like to make Migos. Unbeknownst to me, Chuck was a huge Mego fan.
Oh.
He kept a poker face the whole time.
Okay.
And he said, all right, we'll try it out. Meanwhile, he tells me years later that he was geeking out, but he kept cool.
Wow.
So I showed them that it was in my factory. I could do the bodies. I could do the heads,
yep,
the outfits, exactly like they were. And with a few hiccups. But so by the time we did Pike in 2009, we had actually moved it to their factory.
Oh.
And Pike's head came out a little wonky.
A little cartoony.
Yeah. We did Soul Vampire at the same time. It looked fine.
I like the Captain
Pike. But that could be an oversized
cat. Well, I like the fact that, one, you designed it. Two, you made it. And three, it actually looked, it looks more like Jeffrey Hunter than, like, I like the whole new series and all that. But like I said, your Talosian's dead on. Your Talosian is dead on. I remember the original one in the alien thing?
Yes.
I'm like, what the hell?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I mean, there was a Talosian, but there was also the Keeper.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, was the Keeper kind of a Talosian, or was the Keeper kind of...
Well, that's just it. When we did the Keeper,
yes,
Paramount said to us, by the way, that's not our character.
Right.
The Keeper is the Talosian.
That's what I thought.
This is not Bollock. That's the whole different face. And they're like, you can put it out, but don't put a TM next to Keeper.
Ah.
And I was like, okay. So Neptunia was another one. Mego created a whole cloth.
I never
showed up on Star Trek.
Nope.
It was just Mego's rift.
What do you think happened with... maybe you know, I love my Planet of the Apes. I've got all my Beneath. I even have a Slave Taylor. And I don't know if you see the price of your Slave Taylors and the Unmasked Mutants, but they're big money now, right? Almost like, I don't care.
Yeah, fortunately.
What was the whole idea of just the plain astronaut when the original sets came out? Like, why wasn't there a Taylor figure?
Because Charlton Heston's likeness was not part of the license.
Okay.
They had the ape makeup was Fox's, but Charlton Heston's likeness. And back then, nobody cared about hitting a likeness.
Right.
You know, you just need to put a human with the apes.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And it was actually
an astronaut.
I loved him.
But then when they did the TV show,
yes,
they had Burke and Burden's likeness.
Yes.
And they want to make it TV show specific. And so those look like the actors.
Now, is the Galen action figure from the TV series the same exact Cornelius figure?
Same as Cornelius. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Just the packaging.
The color's ears.
Just the packaging is different, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to play something real quick, and then we're going to beat around the bush about something, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
United Starship Enterprise.
Ah, so you are the captain of these brave lads. My greetings and felicitations, Captain. So good of you and your officers to drop in. Absolutely smashing.
Who are you? Where do you come from?
General Trelane. Retired. At your service, sirs. My home is your home.
Okay, so that I played for Dave, David Nichols, who is absolutely crazy about Trelane. He's absolutely crazy about the original Star Trek. Is there anything that you can tell us or anything that you might be able to hint around? Because have you ever seen anybody so wanting to do a Trelane, like any kind of like singular figure?
I'll tell you, the beauty about Mego guys is they're passionate. They're incredibly passionate. They give me lists all the time.
Wow.
Well, I'll do this. You guys have to do this. You got to do this. You got to do Barney Miller.
What?
I'm like, it's not going to sell.
And that's the part that people don't get. That's what people don't get.
Like, yeah, it doesn't have to sell millions, but it does have to meet a certain production minimum.
Okay, are you allowed to say what an action figure's production minimum is?
Well, we usually figure it for 10,000.
Okay, 10,000 pieces. Now,
that gives us the ability to get fabric.
Yep.
By the bolt and the tooling, you know, the number of castings for the tooling cost. It's just 10,000. It'd be better if they sell more.
Oh no, absolutely. The price goes down. But people have to understand that you have to do the tooling. You've got to get the body system. You got to get the head. You got to get the clothes. You got to get the packaging, and then you got to ship it. Okay.
Mego did 500,000 a year in like Superman, Batman, Captain America, Spider-Man, Star Trek. You know, they did 20 million in Planet of the Apes, the first toy fair.
Wow. I did the toy fair with DMC. Everybody was online to meet DMC. We did the figure, and everybody was like, oh, man. We got zero orders. Zero. We were going to do it at San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. Nobody wanted it. But then we did the tick, and then we sold 4,000. We had like, or the first day of pre-orders, we had like 40,000. Because it was a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. Why doesn't Mego do San Diego Comic-Con?
We did the first year, 2018.
Oh, well, we went with
Joe Namath. We had Joe Namath as on a panel.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Target figures had just come out, had just arrived.
Mm-hmm.
We were there and selling figures. It was great. But that's crazy every year, shipping.
I know.
I'm the guy who had to pick up the product and bring it to San Diego. And unload it and pack it up after the show and take it home.
It's a nightmare. So,
yeah. And as I get older, it's harder to do that.
Even as, you know, thank God we had drop shipping from China right to Comic-Con. I've had to unload stuff. I've had to build. Because people don't realize when you go to Comic-Con, you're given an empty spot. New York Comic-Con, Toy Fair.
Yeah. You're given a table. Right?
Oh, my God. You got a table? I didn't even get a table. You have to build your 18 or 16 by 16 or your 24 by 24.
That's right.
You've got to build your own spot out. It's extra for electricity. Right. You got to put up your grid walls. You got to do all this stuff. Then you've got to unpack. And the whole time you're unpacking, which is usually on Thursday, they now let people in on Thursday.
That's right. When I got to San Diego, the early birds were just showing up. And I'm pushing through the luggage thing.
God, right. I know. Try to get a hand cart.
And through crowds. And I'm like, oh, thank God I'm a New Yorker. I'm like, watch your backs.
Dude, can I tell you? I got to tell you my story real quick. I'm at New York Comic Con, right? For Reed Pop. Reed nonsense.
Yes, and they, well.
Right, and I had just finished my Star Trek pilot with John Savage and Gary Lockwood, and we were in Ticonderoga, New York, filming. We did all this stuff. They were like, can you please come to New York Comic Con? We're going to give you a 16 by 16 booth. And I'm like, yeah, we'll come. Absolutely. So I get there and we're like right in front of the food court. We had a corner table. I mean, I've got everybody coming. Garrett Wong, John Savage. I've got Pete and Lou from Sick of It All. I mean, I've got all these celebrities coming. Nana Visitor was coming. Everybody was coming. We got a panel discussion. And that was another thing. We sold out of our panel discussion. Like, they wanted us to do another one because we sold out. Like, it was pouring out of the room. It was so great. But I get there, and it looks like an abandoned parking lot. And I'm like, where's our table and chairs? Oh, you have to go over to that booth over there, and they give you the table and the chairs. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I waited online. I got up to the thing, up to the person. And I said, I need three tables and eight chairs. And they went, $4,200. I went, I don't want to buy them. I just want to use them. Like, just so we can sit and sign autographs. They go, yeah, $4,200. I go, and John Savage is standing. He goes, just put it on my credit card. I go, no. He went, no. I go, what is the problem? They said, well, this is a union hall. You're not right. You're not allowed.
Welcome
to New York. Forget about it. And I'm a New Yorker. I grew up in Jersey, 12 minutes, and I grew up in Montclair, New Jersey, right on the other side of the Lincoln Tunnel, you know? Yep. So I'm like, yeah, I go to Comic Cons. Hey, who knew, right? So it's like 9:10 a.m., and the doors open at 10. And I'm like, what do I do? And I got my two nephews with me. And the union guy goes, go to Home Depot, go buy some tables, buy some chairs. Mm-hmm. You're going to spend like $200, but you got to have them back in this building before we open the doors.
That's right.
You want to talk about running through the streets of Manhattan with tables and chairs on our heads? And we did it. But for them to move.
Thankfully, I did 20 years of conventions before I even started with Mega.
Did you really? Oh, yeah. Yes, you did. I know you did. That's how we met.
So I knew how to weave and dodge through it all.
Wow.
And, you know, Marty shows up and goes, hey, everything looks great.
All right. Did you fanboy out the first time you met him?
Oh, well, you got to be cool about it. You know, you can't visibly fan.
Like I'm doing right now.
You'd be like, how you doing? Like, I enjoy your work.
Nah, I'm just cool. I know Paul. Me and Paul go back like car seats. I'm like, Paul Clark is the man. I love it. Okay.
Know, the moment I think that,
yes,
I'm now useless.
Dude, like, do you have your dream job?
Yes. I'm the happiest boy alive.
Right. Okay.
I wear a superhero t-shirt every day, and I make toys.
How do you beat
the toys I grew up with? I'm literally, you know, laughing on the way to work.
I'm trying to find something here so I can read it back to you. Oh, here it is. Okay. I'm just going through my notes. Okay. Let's see. We're talking about a bunch of things. Okay. So we were talking about the Star Trek licensing, and I know, and I had to deal with Star Trek doing that pilot. It took me 4 months, and I sent you a copy of my standard operating procedure that I had to use with CBS for the Star Trek Equinox pilot. What a nightmare. What a nightmare. 4 months and like $8,000 worth of legal fees later. You know?
Right.
And you weathered the storm for 2 years, you said?
Diamond had the license.
Okay.
So we did the toys.
Right.
Diamond submitted them to Star Trek, and they had a long relationship of doing a lot of stuff. So everything was smooth for us.
Now how does that licensing work? Okay, let me ask you this. Okay, because have you guys redone the body types again? Like, how close to these body types now are they to the originals?
Well, we made them bandless. No more, you know, no more rubber band running through them. They're ball and socket.
See, I don't take them out of the package, so I don't know what's inside them.
Okay. Well,
and all my loose ones, I literally like, I kid gloves. Like, I've never broke one.
Okay.
So, what's
it? Yeah,
I'm sorry, please.
So, you know, they don't care about the body. They care about the sculpt and the costume and the packaging.
Okay. See, I
they have a style guide for the packaging, and this is what you must go by.
Oh, that's easy. So, the World's Greatest Superhero line, the 50th anniversary, Marty Abrams presents the Planet of the Apes series. Are those bodies trademarked?
It's a patent.
Or a patent. I'm sorry. Yes,
that you have to file for the design.
Okay.
The problem with patents is, if you make one change to the design, that's not your patent anymore.
Right.
So it's kind of foolish in the toy business to try to like patent it.
Are the other companies that we don't talk about, are they still producing Mego-esque figures?
I have no idea.
Me either.
I don't follow, you know.
No, I know. I know. I just, you know. Oh, you know what I want to talk to you about? This purple-handed Joker situation.
Okay.
All right.
That was the silliest thing.
Dude, the way people are acting has made me absolutely, like, I almost walked away from Mego three times just because over the purple-handed thing.
Okay, what happened was,
yes,
we did the 50th World's Greatest.
Yep.
Gave Joker white hands as he had in the 70s.
Yep.
Then Big Lots came to us and said, we want to do variants.
Oh, Big Lots came to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That clears that up.
So they're like, well, what can you do differently? But fast. Because every has to go to the factory in a month, you know?
Right, right. No, I know.
I'm like, okay. So we could make the Superman, the 41 Fleischer version, with a red belt and a different emblem. At Batman, I can make it more like the 66 Batman.
Yep, I got mine.
With a different emblem, different belt.
Eyebrows.
Paint the cowl different to look like the... Yeah, so darken the blue. Boom, looks like what Mego would have done if they had paid more attention to the Adam West show.
Yep, great.
Robin, I gave him the little stripes in the front. Gave him hands.
I'm looking at what you're saying. It. So, yep.
Yeah. Joker. I was like, okay, could I do Ray Cesar Romero costume? I go, I have no time.
Yeah.
So all I could think was, well, I could make his hands purple because he was always wearing purple gloves in the comic.
That's true.
And I thought that was the easiest, simplest change. For a character you're going to buy anyway, because you're going to buy Batman and the Joker.
Do you think it was weird that Big Lots only got 9 figures each? Like, and I'll tell you, there's 9 Big Lots here in Las Vegas. 4 of them got the sleeve of 9. 2 of those sleeves I bought and I distributed. I don't even own a Big Lots figure. I got my variants from Canada, an Absolutely Retro.
Yeah.
I sold mine to people that couldn't get around. Like, I sold my purple-handed Joker to an Iraqi war vet who lost his legs. Everybody's like, oh, come on, you got... No, I videoed with this guy for an hour. And I sold it to him for $20 plus shipping. I didn't make any money on the stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, that's what...
That's what you're supposed to do. To have, like, displays in front of the store.
No, They put them in
that's
a section.
That's what they told us.
Well, okay. They had them in the Christmas section, right? Now, I went in, and I've got a whole timeline for it. Okay? There's a Big Lots 4 blocks from where I live here in Las Vegas. And they came in on... They got checked in on November 11th. And they sold 2, and they were missing 9 or 7. And I'm like, that's weird. Literally, they just found them in the back of the store, and they didn't say exactly where, like 3 months later. Like, I just got them for somebody and got rid of them right away.
So somebody, some stock boy had a little squirrely place.
Oh, yeah, but there was no Jokers in it. Now, people swear, and this is almost got me kicked off the Mego ambassadors, because... I came into a conversation where these 5 guys were like, yeah, I got 3 stashes. I got 2 from over here. I got 1 from over there. And one guy that didn't belong to that clique came in and went, hey, man, you think you could sell me one of those Jokers? I've been really looking for one. And they destroyed him. Like, and I'm like, yo, guys, like, you're talking about all this money you're going to make off these figures. And, you know, you guys are patting each other on the back for hoarding all these figures. You know, and then you got figures that you got one in the box and you got one displayed and then it broke. And then I said, do you not realize that there's people out here that can't even get one? Not even one. And they literally attacked me. Like, I took the attack off the other guy that just wanted to buy a Joker. You know, no big deal. I'll pay you for it. And I put all the heat on myself and got banned for like 30 days from posting on the ambassadors. But I'm like, this over purple-handed Joker. Did you see from your end this thing being out of control on the boards?
No. Yeah. I thought it was just going to sit there at Big Lots and people and not enough Mego guys would be able to get the, you know, would not enough would come in.
I know you were
and
worried
it would
about
sit
that.
Around like everything else there.
Do you think what kind of things do you deem bad behavior? I mean, how do you feel? Like, it's so hard to talk to you about some of this stuff because it's personal to me, but I don't have doubles because I want somebody else to have, you know, a chance of getting one. Like, I don't want to break one and throw in the garbage when you could, and then tell people online about it. Like,
I can't control what other people do.
No, I know.
You know, and it's and I'm not going to sit there and tell people, oh no, you have to share.
Oh no, I'm not doing that. No.
Part of a collector is they like to hoard.
Yeah, and then
what about the guys that show 10 or 20 original vintage Batmans,
right?
Of every variation.
Yep.
And it's like, well, whatever. That's what you want to do with your money. It's not my way of collecting,
right?
But
like,
I'm also not a guy that keeps them in the package.
Yeah, no, I have one Green Arrow. I've got one Green Arrow in the box, the 50th anniversary, and then I've got the two variants, in the bubble. You know, now I see them going for a couple hundred bucks, but to see a Big Lot purple-handed Joker going for $100.
Well, that's silly. I believe that's fishing.
Thank you. That's what
I can't imagine anybody is pulling the trigger on that. But, you know, whatever you have the nerve to charge.
Yeah. I mean, if you go on the Walmart app and you look up the George Taylor slave, mm-hmm. Planet of the Apes, it's $149. Yeah.
Great. It makes it easier for me to then say, listen, you have to understand, when I go to the Mego bosses and say,
yep,
I want to do Taylor in a loincloth with a leather strap around his neck, they're like, are you out of your mind? Who would want that?
People that don't know Mego are saying that. Dude, try to find one. Try to find one online. Try to find an unmasked mutant online anywhere. I go to Mercari, I go to eBay, I go to OfferUp, I go anywhere I can look for whatever I got to look for. And if you, like, again, that's why I'm telling everybody, absolutely retro, pre-order your figures or you're going to get locked out and you're going to end up having to pay four times the amount to a scalper. Because you don't think, like, scalpers and all these people are following the trends. You don't think that these guys are sitting back and looking at what we're talking about on these boards. Everybody's clamoring for a purple-handed Joker, and all of a sudden, these guys are like, let's go get some Jokers. You know? People are like, nobody does that. I'm like, yeah, okay. People in the stock market watch stocks. Like, if I, like, 69 Chargers, I used to get them for $1,000. Now they're $75,000. People watch trends with toys.
Yeah.
Like, I just bought a loose Mego astronaut, original complete, right? I paid a little bit for it, a lot. I could have bought the whole set of Star Trek back then for what I paid for it. But again, it's a supply and demand thing. Now, here's the big question. Now you and I got into a conversation the other day. Okay, so let's talk about the Planet of the Apes, Mego, George Taylor figure in the astronaut's uniform. Okay?
Okay.
It says, I've got number 540 with a big gold sticker on it saying it's a European edition. You're laughing.
Well, because we sold... that was for George Taylor in the slave outfit.
Yes.
Was for Tops.
Okay. I've got
then those. I did George Taylor and the astronaut outfit.
Right.
And that was regular release, wave 16 or 17.
Okay.
So we sold the quantity to Europe, to somebody in the UK or Paris or I don't know. But they don't tell me the details.
Okay.
But so they put a sticker on them that said, you know, 542 of 1,000.
Right.
And I was like, that's not all we made, but they wanted to put a sticker on because that's what they ordered.
Okay. So
people start telling me that, like, oh, you only made 1,000? I'm like, no, we didn't make 1,000.
Well, they only
ordered
1,000.
You don't make 1,000 anything.
That's what I was saying. I was like,
yeah,
huh?
That
didn't make any sense. So you only sold 1,000 of the white NASA or ASA, whatever you call it. ANSA.
Yeah, ANSA.
Okay, ANSA. You sold 1,000 ANSAs to the French distributor, and they're the ones that put the gold sticker on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what's funny to me, that would, to me, would seem more collectible than, say, like the George Taylor slave outfit, right? Because it's okay. You know, limited edition, it's got the big gold sticker, blah, blah, blah. They're all over the internet for $20.
We could just sell to that distributor. We sold them to everybody.
Right.
License to Play, Diamond Comics, you know, anybody else who wanted them.
So
character options, anybody, Australia, New Zealand.
Yep. I love trading, actually. I've been doing a lot of trading lately. Like, because if I pick something up, I have never made a dime on Mego. Never. And I've traded with a lot of ambassadors. I've sold to a lot of ambassadors. And they've literally been like, do you know what this is worth? I said, it doesn't matter. What am I going to do? It ruins the juju of what Mego's supposed to be. You know, I'm not in it for the money. But I'll never unless I become completely disheartened, I'm never going to sell my stuff. I don't do drugs, so I don't need the money. And they look great in my office, and I love what they are, you know, for a million different reasons. So let's go back to the Star Trek license real quick, because I know David Nichols is nipping at the bud. Are you going to try to introduce a Trelane figure made by Mego?
Yes.
No! Yeah.
It's going to be Wave 19.
Okay.
If I ever get the costume from the seamstress.
I hear you.
This sculpt is done. It's an easy figure. He's got Klingon boots and a Zorro sword, which I already tooled.
Yeah, you told me that. We try to talk to him, and he's like, I don't care if it's not an Mego box. I love how passionate he is about Mego, and I love how passionate he is about Trelane. Now, his job has two jobs.
The point is,
yes, please.
We put out Talosian and the Mig and the Andorian ambassador. And they didn't get as many pre-orders as they needed to go to production. So we said, okay, we'll hold these back to another to a later wave.
Yep.
Marty said, oh, go ahead, go.
Really?
Go to production. Yeah.
Oh.
Because Marty's a fan too.
No, dude.
He was like, these are great looking figures. Let's go.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm like, awesome.
Are you gonna do a Captain, a Jeffrey Hunter Captain Pike?
Don't know.
Okay.
Probably.
Maybe.
If you know how long, how yeah, it's just a matter of you know how what interest there is in Next Generation sells better than every other.
Are you serious?
Sorry, not I'm sorry. TOS.
Really?
TOS. TOS has a bigger fan base.
Right.
Than the others.
The original series.
I was able to get Quark and Sisko into
really?
The Tops figures
because
Tops was taking a sufficient quantity to do production.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's justifies doing it. On their own, I don't think the show is that popular that I could move 10,000.
Wow. Okay. That's fair enough. Who would you like to see in the Star Trek universe? If you had a carte blanche and you could just snap your fingers and make something, what would be one of the figures that you would love?
I would probably do the reverse Charon.
Really?
A two-pack.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. I had the Charon, too.
I've done a lot, but...
can we use the Riddler face? Because it was Frank Gorshin who played the opposite.
I know.
That's funny.
But you caught me now. There's a lot of guys that I'd like to... I'd love to do Sarek.
Yeah.
I'd love to do a whole Tower of Babel.
Yeah. I mean, we got the Andorian.
With the Tellarite.
Let's talk about Planet of the Apes. Because we're eventually going to have to talk about Marvel, and I'm not ready to talk about Marvel yet. Are we done with the Planet of the Apes?
It depends on what Fox is willing to do.
Okay.
They said, take a break till the new movie comes out.
Okay.
You know, and we said, okay, we've done a lot. I got to do The Mutant.
Yep, I love it. I have both of them.
I have other sculpts ready to go.
Okay.
But I'm curious to see how the new... I saw the trailer for the new movie.
Yeah, I saw it too. I love it.
It was supposed to be... They said they're going to be enclosed.
Okay. I didn't like...
See it on the trailer.
I did not like the Tim Burton version at all.
No, most of us... It started well, but then it was too much... what's his name? Out of breath.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Right. Right. There you go.
Yep. I couldn't feel it.
It was just him running around a lot.
Yeah. It didn't make any sense to me, you know, and I knew a few of the actors in there, you know, just, but I like the fact that, you know, they called the one Maurice, you know, and the newer stuff, you know, as a tribute to Maurice Evans and they, you know, little girl being Nova. I thought that was pretty cool. I need to see, for me personally, I'd love to see a Nova figure. I mean, Linda Harrison is still alive. You know, it'd be nice to get her to sign a few of them. You know, I mean,
but I want to do it as Nova. I could just put out a Cave Girl.
Right. No,
there's not anything about her that's Planet of the Apes specific. So you call her Nova.
Right. Right. Just.
And I'd rather do it within the under license.
So would I. So. Marvel has taken over the universe. I mean, before I talk about that was a teaser. Let's talk about playsets. And you and I had this conversation about a month ago. People don't realize, yes, we all love playsets. I love the playset I just got, which we won't talk about on the air because we agreed not to. I love the playset I just got because it's got the old school stuff on it that I like.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. See, you said it. I didn't say it, but I talked to the creator, and he was like, "I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to know anybody. I'm going to do more, but I don't want to say anything to anybody anywhere ever about anything." And I'm like,
"Right, because he's a bootlegger. This isn't licensed product."
Yeah. See, that's not cool.
So, you know,
but the creativity behind it, I applaud.
It's not difficult. it's taking stock artwork and from Treasury editions and, you know, it covers anything with a big enough figure.
Yeah.
And it's putting them on background.
Yeah.
The more important thing with playsets to me is they have to be useful to us now.
Right. Right.
We don't have big tables to set up the Batcave, the Wayne Foundation.
Right.
The Enterprise, it's all it. I have a.
I know you do.
Table in my dining room.
We talked about this. You've got prototypes, dude. You have prototypes.
Yes, I have prototypes.
Oh, if I could be a fly on your wall again.
But I also
please
have a table and a second table in my dining room. My wife lets me decorate in contemporary American superhero.
God bless your wife. You know what? I played that movie.
Say that daily.
What's your wife's name?
Ann.
We've been together
since 1982.
God bless. I played that Moody Blues song just for her in the beginning of the show.
She bought me Spider-Man, Superman, and Captain America from Toys R Us for my 18th birthday.
What?
I was like, you got me Migos. My mother made me throw them all out. Oh. I'm 18. She can't tell me what to do. I'm back.
I'm back, baby. I am back.
I'm back. and then I start to buy up all the Migos and found out that they even did Pirates, Knights, and Robin Hood. I never knew.
Dude, okay.
So
yes, please. No, please.
That's when I found out that Migo had gone out of business.
I'm in Australia. I'm in Sydney, Australia, right?
Really?
And yeah. Not now, but that about 5 years ago. I go to Australia all the time. I've been all over this world, but I've been to Australia especially more than a few times. And I went to 5 toy stores. And I go, do you have Migos? And they go, what's that, mate? And I'd show them a picture, and they'd be like, oh, we remember those, mate. No, you don't have them. Okay. So
they were probably sold under a different name.
Maybe. So
Palatoy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even ask that. See, I'm an amateur. Compared to you, I'm an amateur. I'm a super amateur compared to you. I am the guy that goes and gets coffee for the super amateur compared to you. Okay. So they had their own porn stores, not porn, just because of my
New York accent.
I say porn, not porn. Pawn stars, like Richard Harrison.
That's the whole show it was based on.
Right. I bet. So they had their own porn stars in Australia. It was on for 2 years. And I go to see those guys, and they gave me a bunch of porn star stuff. On the top shelf, I see a green Migo boot. And I went, what's that? And they pulled Little John and Robin Hood off the shelves. 100% original. It came with a toy chest with these coins. And I don't even know if it went with them. Oh, yeah. All original. And I'm like, I've never seen these. And they're like, yeah, we didn't really even know what they were. We just threw them on the shelf. You want to give me $15? You got both of them.
Great.
Sold. I still got the price tags on them. You know, but again, like, because we're on in England. We are on in South Africa. We are big following Japan. China, not so much because they don't have internet over there. But Australia, too. Like my friend Danny Sheehan, and I've got so many mates in Australia. Are you guys still doing international sales? Like, what's the status of that?
I'm sorry?
What's the status of you guys shipping internationally?
We get a purchase order, we ship.
Okay.
It's business. You know, I mean, they just went to Nuremberg. London Toy Fair in Nuremberg.
I love it. Germany, for people that don't know. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, here we go. Marvel rules the world. Marvel, oh, God. I mean, talk about difficulty. I mean, between them arguing with themselves, between the Fantastic Four over at Sony, all the different reboots, now they're hooked up with Disney. Okay, for people that don't know, there are companies called Sony Pictures, Paramount Pictures, Warner Brothers, 20th Century Fox, CBS, blah, blah, blah. They don't make movies. They don't make television. They make money. That's the bottom line. Okay. Chris Hemsworth, everybody
saw? Actually,
yes, please.
Disney owns 20th Century Fox now.
Right. Here's a little bit of trivia, and you can look it up if you don't believe me. You saw the first Thor movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Chris Hemsworth. Right. Made $700 million globally at the box office, right? Do you know how much Chris Hemsworth got played to play? How much Chris Hemsworth got paid?
Hemsworth
got paid to play for Thor, you know? $100,000. That's all he got, $100,000. Okay.
Hey, you know?
You couldn't squeeze a lot. Listen, they have people, and I know this for fact, they've got people at all those studios that answer the phone just to tell you no. Can I? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Can I? Nope. Can I come and see? Nope. 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 Mm-hmm. Nope. Are you guys, is Migo Corporation working on getting a Marvel license? Or would you like to, let me ask you this. Would you like to see Mego get a Marvel license?
I tell you, Marty is amazing.
Oh, we know that.
He says no as maybe.
Okay, that's cool.
And maybe is yes.
That's all we need to say. Right. I mean,
that man is intent on getting what he wants to do. And he turns to me and he goes, I'm doing this for you.
Break my heart. Now, I also read online because I have never done my homework when interviewing somebody. I did homeworks. I got notes. And once again, for everybody that doesn't know, if you don't know what we're talking about, we are talking about 8-inch Mego figures. Go to absolutelyretro.com. You're going to see some really cool things that I'm about to talk about. You can pre-order them through Frank Wojo, absolutelyretro.com. Just straight up order them. Yeah, but I'm talking about the pre-orders right now.
Good, the new wave.
Yes.
But this is wave 18.
I've missed the boat. 17
other waves that Frank carries.
I missed all those waves because I didn't see them. It literally took that one Professor Zoom at Target that one day to turn my whole life back around. You know,
the cool thing is to go to a show with Frank. Yeah, he does all these shows.
Right.
And to just see all the past 7 years of work laid out on the table.
Isn't that amazing?
And I can just go, oh, okay, how we do? I'm doing better.
Dude, it's because of it, love and money. We're in it for love. Other people are in it for money. Love conquers all. You know, when you see these things again, go, oh, I remember that. And then all you got to do is be like, it's been 50 years. You guys, like, how come they didn't make a Flash originally or an Elastic Man?
Well, I'll tell you.
Yes.
We asked Marty that.
Yes.
And he has no idea. He's like, I don't know. Who's Flash? I don't know. Why? What difference does it make?
Right.
So we asked him, and he said, and we showed him Flash. And he goes, you know, probably because he looks too much like Shazam.
What?
Red outfit, lightning bolt, yellow boots.
Red and yellow, yeah.
How much difference is one guy from the other? Same thing with Green Lantern. He said, well, we did Green Arrow. So what about Green Lantern? He goes, yeah, it looks the same.
Oh, God.
He doesn't look that much different. Why would we bother? He said, we could do anybody. We could have done any character.
Yeah. Yeah, back then.
And basically, it was, mostly geared around Super Friends.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too.
Mego was out a year before Super Friends. Mm. His friend Stan Weston was working on a Super Friends cartoon with Hanna-Barbera. Hmm. So, you know, the first four Migos, Superman, Batman, Robin, Aquaman.
Yep.
And then we did the girls, Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Okay. Super Friends was that five.
That's true. Yeah.
That was also Filmation's.
But don't forget too, they were also marketing. How many Saturday morning Mego cartoons? I mean, commercials did we see? That was instrumental for me, you know, or that Fall Spiegel catalog that came out. Ooh,
yeah. And in my house, it was JCPenney.
Right. Obviously, nobody's shaking a tin can. Is Marty happy with how things are going so far?
Yeah. If he wasn't, he'd tell me.
I'm saying that. Now here's
tell me to go home.
here's what I wanted to talk about. And this is this absolutely has to do with Absolutely Retro and Frank Wojo and AbsolutelyRetro.com. I saw your Dr. Fate and almost died. Mm. I've never pre-ordered him.
Yeah.
I've always bought him straight up. I go on Absolutely Retro, I bought my Planet of the Apes figures from there. I saw the Dr. Fate and I lost the plot. I am a huge, just like you, because I read that you were responsible for Dr. Fate. Huge,
absolutely.
Huge Justice Society fan. Huge.
Well, the 100 pagers.
Oh.
Back in the 70s, DC put out 100 page comics.
Wow.
New story in the front and then reprints of Golden Age stuff in the back. So you get introduced to Dr. Fate and the Spectre, the Golden Age Green Lantern, Golden Age Flash.
Right.
Yeah, this was the Justice Society.
Alan Scott, baby. Jay Garrick.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's harder to sell them. Yes, you get, well, okay. There's a hierarchy of every fan base, of every character list.
Right.
There's a hierarchy. You got Dr. Fate.
I love it.
And Spectre, who was able to transition right to the regular DC titles.
Right.
Nobody had to explain that they're from Earth 2 and they're Justice Society.
Right, 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 right.
And then you have Golden Age Flash, Golden Age Green Lantern.
Yep, my two favorites.
Which once fans see that coming out, they go, oh, the line's over.
Why?
Because that's usually the last gasp.
Really?
And you've done everything else, and now you're down to the Golden Age guys.
But those are my two favorites. I have, like...
That may be. Everybody has favorites.
Yeah. Well, I like, again... But
historically...
Yes, I'm sorry, please.
That's what I have to do. I have to pay attention to sales, not what I like.
Numbers. It's a numbers game. And it really is.
If, yeah.
And I've tried to explain this in 100 different formats and 100,000 different ways. Mm-hmm. If people do not pre-order, you're not going to make it.
It's not the old days.
Right.
In the old days, we used to get in the car, go to the store, buy the thing, bring it home. My kids look at me like I got three heads.
Why
don't you just order it on Amazon? It shows up tomorrow.
I ordered a Jay Garrick. It's been 20 years. It's still not here yet. Let me explain. Yes. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. Okay. So you have a 15,000 piece minimum, right? And
I'm just saying hypothetically.
Hypothetically. Hypothetically.
Yeah.
You have a 15,000 piece minimum. Now we're talking, just reiterating what we talked about earlier on the show. We have production costs, shipping, clothing, you know, tooling, all these things, okay? So now you have 15,000 figures, and you have to pre-sell 15,000 figures to be able to pay for the 15,000 figures. If you pre-sell 1,000 figures, that doesn't pay the bill.
Right. So the figure does not go to production.
Right. So I had told David Nichols, Trillane. Hold on.
Trillane Initiative.
That's right. I'm going to play the coup. You play some harpsichord.
I can't tell you how delighted I am to have visitors from the very planet that I've made my hobby.
David Nichols. Okay. Listen, if they make 10,000 Trillanes and they only sell 1,000, there's going to be 9,000 Trillanes sitting somewhere where those funds could be utilized to make a Nova, make a Wonder Woman, make all these other things. So I came up with, and I said, do a petition. I said, find out. I said, here, let's start. I'll make up a mock Kickstarter for you. You pre-sell.
He has a prototype.
Huh?
He has a prototype made by James Brady.
Right. Put it up. See if you can pre-sell. If you can pre-sell $300,000 worth, go to me, go and say, I've got $300,000. I'd like to get all the Trillanes made for everybody that ordered one. With that.
Okay.
Right.
He doesn't have to.
Please.
It's not that he's not really able to even go out and say, I'm making this. Because he doesn't have a Star Trek license. He'd hear from Paramount's legal.
Right. And that costs 10 grand.
But Mego,
just have a conversation with them.
Mego can put up a pre-order.
Right.
Like we do with Wave 18. Yeah, we do every wave. And Dave can direct people to the pre-order. And then we'll know how many people.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. So... let's hypothetically say again. Now you are putting Trillane out in a wave for pre-order, correct? Yes.
If I can get the outfit done, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And what wave will that be?
Probably 19.
Okay. Wave 19, We're going to be I'm all part of we now. Beagle Corporation is going to put out a pre-production Trelane for Wave 16. What happens if there's only 1,000 people that order them in pre-order? What's going to happen?
Well, then we won't make it, and they'll get refunded or whatever they do, you know, get a credit, whatever they do with that. I don't think they're supposed to be hitting your credit card until the figure ships.
Yeah, I don't know that side of it. Like I said, when I was part of Shocker Toys Indie Spotlight, I was the fifth guy on the totem pole. I'm the guy that just paid for the booths and bought airline tickets and just kicked in towards prototypes. So I don't know that end of it. So again, mm-hmm. there's two ways that David can do this. You can share this show with the news that Trelane will be in Wave 16. And the only way they're getting made is to pre-order them through AbsolutelyRetro.com, correct?
Or Diamond, or I've done it recently, but Mego has an Amazon store.
Okay. Oh, do they? I didn't know that.
The point is, you've opened it up to all the distributors.
Okay.
And they have a couple of months to order. Okay. It's not like it's going to be, you have to do it this week.
Right.
And,
right.
But there's no point in really beating the drums until the pre-order is up.
Right. But people need to understand.
Then you have pictures, you know.
How many times have you done something or gone somewhere or made something and somebody been like, oh, if I knew that was out there, I would have ordered it. Right. I didn't hear about it.
I tell you, I stand on mountaintops yelling.
Right. Me too.
I try to do every interview. A post on social media.
Right.
We try to beat the drums.
Right.
And then guys go, I didn't know Mego was back.
I didn't know. And that's why I'm saying this. And if you're listening to this show, if you don't share it, you're stopping at the knowledge right where it's staying. Like, something's only as good as the person who shares it. If you don't share something, like, that's really cool like this, then that's where it's going to stop. And Mego will not continue. Again, it's us fans that control it. Pre-orders that we pre-order control it. If we stop pre-ordering, if we stop buying, and we stop putting money and our time and our love into Mego, guess what? They're going to be gone. Right. Share the
years
love.
Ago,
yes, please.
Retailers used to buy cases and cases and fill the shelves with toys.
Yep.
You know, Target, Walmart. Oh, Toys R Us, everybody else, Caldor, everybody had toys
Corvettes,
all over the place.
Even Corvettes.
Right? Corvettes.
Yeah.
Caldors. The model has changed. Yep. The world has changed. The internet now is how people get things.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I was saying.
My kids keep telling me. So things have to be pre-ordered or they don't ever get to production.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Mego, because again, you can't fill... You couldn't put 5 playsets on a shelf in a retail environment. That's too much real estate for a playset.
It's on the retailer. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Walmart came to us wanting
to do playsets.
Right.
And we mocked up some and showed it to them and said, yeah, this is absolutely. And they were all excited. And then it never got to placing an order.
Okay. Can Mego make 1,000 playsets at a time or 10,000 playsets at a time based on pre-orders?
10,000?
Or whatever. Like, whatever the minimum amount is. And just ship them from their warehouse. Not even put them in a retail. Put them as an online-only exclusive.
Mego's not doing warehousing.
Okay.
Back in the old days, Marty had a warehouse on Long Island.
Now it's the trunk of your car.
And now he's now he's saying, I don't want to have a staff in a warehouse filling orders and shipping and having to cover that, all those expenses.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I get it. You know, I mean, we have to build the company back up. And two things, if we don't, again, this goes back to sharing. This goes back to putting the word out there.
Yeah.
Pre-orders. Yeah. If you don't pre-order it, Mego is not going to make it because it costs money just to make a prototype.
It may never come out.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So
the day I know how people feel. I love to go into a store and pick up the figure and take it to checkout and see them all there. I love that.
Me too.
But when you go into Walmart and Target, all you see is empty shelves. Yep. You see one figure dangling on a peg.
Yep.
Yep. I'm like, what happened?
And it's never.
They just don't. The retailers are not willing to commit. They've seen too many Funko Pops sitting on their shelves, clogging up the place.
They're still there, clogging up the place.
I think that's our biggest problem.
Yep.
They say, yeah, your Migos sell. We sold out of the 50th anniversary, but what if the next one doesn't?
And I say that all the time. You're always one toy away from that's it. Always.
No.
You know, are you guys done with Big Lots? Are we doing any more Big Lots stuff?
No. They had a great experience.
So
they were thrilled to death. They could not believe how fast it all threw out the door.
So are you guys are still going to be doing more Big Lots stuff, or is that it?
If they want to, I don't know. I don't. Okay. They don't tell me that stuff.
Okay, I'm just asking.
I just make it a dolls.
I know nothing. I just make dolls.
I just sew the clothes. I just sit there sewing the doll clothes.
How cool is it? And if you haven't noticed, people, on the back of the boxes or the back of my bubbles, your name is on the back of these Mego figures now. How?
When we can.
When this room.
When I don't get bumped for the paint master.
Dude, how cool was it to have that? I'll never have it.
Absolutely.
Oh.
I put it, but remember, I put out Star Trek first.
Yep.
Took him to Marty's house. Showed him, he opened up the case, he pulled out the Andorian, and he says, "Boy, you really nailed this. I swear this came out of my factory."
Whose collection's nicer?
And I said, "That's it, I'm good."
Whose collection's nicer, yours or Marty's?
Well, Marty's is more eclectic, cooler.
What did you cooler
because that's stuff that no one will ever see.
What did you see over there that totally, like, the just need to tell me one thing that you saw over there you went, "Oh." Too.
I don't know. Because he doesn't really let me go in the closet.
Well, okay.
Because he's afraid I'll just start geeking.
Oh, dude, and not get out. Oh, I'm not, dude, don't let me at your house ever. Okay.
Oh, yeah, no. Nobody's allowed in my house. Migo guy showed up at my house one day.
Are you serious?
And I was like, no. I gotta go to a doctor's appointment.
Yeah, no.
And he goes, "Oh, I'll wait till you get back."
Really?
Oh, no, you're not.
Hey, yeah, no, the sidewalk's over there. Okay.
That's right.
So I saw, and it broke my heart a little bit, because I understand that when we love something, like, I couldn't talk Shocker Toys into making an 8-inch figure if I had a gun. Like, I was so low on the photo pole. They were so into doing, you know, the Tick and, you know, the Indie Spotlight stuff and all that.
For 40 years, that is what action figures have been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's this uphill battle explaining how Mego actually has a cooler look, because it's not just a paint app.
Right.
But exactly. The fabric actually affects how the figure moves.
Yep. Yep. I love all of it. Everything about it. I want to talk to you about
when I saw Mego. Yes.
No. Go ahead. When you saw Mego.
When I saw Mego, I was like, this was a kid-sized Batman.
Yeah.
That I could hold in my hand. And he had a cloth costume. I could take the mask off. I could take his cape off.
Yeah.
He could be in the Batcave, you know, like he is in the comics, without the cape and cowl.
You know what? Now you opened up a whole new can of worms. Let's get away from play sets. How about vehicles? Are there any plans for vehicles?
Of course. There's lots of plans. The point is,
yes,
it has to be a purchase order from a retailer or a distributor. We're not just making it.
No.
See if it sells.
Well, are we going to see some prototypes, or not some prototypes, prototypes to be considered for presale? It's coming up sooner or later.
Yeah, you have to make a prototype in order to put up for presale.
Right. Okay. So just going backwards, talking about Dr. Fate, I read that you are 100% responsible for that figure.
I guess, yeah.
You're so modest.
I don't think my bosses know who Dr. Fate is. They didn't know who Deadman was.
I think the cartoon. And I'm like, "Who, dude, Dead?" Yes.
And I walk in with T-shirts on every day. the Dead Man and Thor and every superhero I can. I've worn Adam Warlock, and they look at me like, "Who's that?"
The kid from We're the Millers.
I go, but you know who Thanos is?
Yeah.
Thanks to Marvel, every school child knows who Thanos is.
Yep.
So we're living in great times.
Oh, yeah. So
my poor mother just said to me, "Oh, just don't talk to anyone about that stuff.
Really?
Just keep quiet and work in a bank or an insurance company, somewhere that you can stay in the back and not get anyone's way."
Did you?
She really thought. Yeah.
No. The movie with Will Smith when he played a homeless guy with his kid.
Seen his kid. Pursuit of Happiness.
Yes. And I see the kid
Kid had a Captain America meet.
Yes. I marked out huge. Yes. I was like, that was perfect. That was absolutely perfect. So did you do the Dr. Fate based on the Black Adam, or did you do it based on your love of the Justice Society?
I based it off of what DC Comics has been doing. Okay.
Okay.
In the old days, comics were four color print. You couldn't do a metallic gold. It would look like mustard.
Mm.
So every gold was yellow.
Yep.
And the trick is when you try to translate old comic book look, is it gold or is it yellow? Right. Is it blue or is it black?
Right.
Does Superman have blue hair or does he have black hair?
Right. Right.
So in what DC has been doing in their TV shows, like Constantine, Legends of Tomorrow.
Yep.
Probably a couple others, where they show Dr. Fate's helmet, it's always metallic gold.
Yes, it is.
So is the amulet. Okay?
Right.
Now, when Black Adam, we could have put out figures for Black Adam, but since the movie tanked,
it's hard.
We prototyped, but we never went to production. Whereas McFarlane and Spin Masters went to production to make the movie release.
Wow.
So they get stuck with a lot of unsolds that Mego just bypassed.
Are you seeing any of the numbers for any of the pre-sales for the Dead Man and the Red Tornado and the Bizarro and the... And I'm sorry, I'm not hip to the waves.
I don't think I ever see those.
But nobody's crying though, right?
It's just that's not what I focus on.
Okay.
I'm not sending out, I'm not the accounting guy.
Well, no, but if they weren't being ordered, they wouldn't be on their way here.
I would have been told no, that guy didn't sell out the cut.
Right.
So which is what I was told about Andorian Intellusion.
Right.
Oh, no. And then when I told the factory, these are not in production. And Joel came back and said, yeah, yes, they are.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Yay.
Yay, us. Who, if you, now, I'm a DC guy. I'm in no rush to see Marvel figures. You know, I mean.
Okay, well, that's one of us.
Sorry. I'm a DC guy. Are we going to see Teen Titans like the original run? Maybe.
I have lists after list. I have plans. I have PowerPoints that I sent it to Warner Brothers, that goes out to distributors, and I've got a long list.
Okay, what wave are we up to?
18.
Okay, give me Dr. Mego's imaginary, I wish it had happened, wave 19, four figures.
Well, let's see. I'd love to do Spectre.
Love it.
I'd love to do Cyborg.
Love it.
Let's see. You want to bounce off some more villains with Lex Luthor?
Love it.
You know, you got to fill in the villains.
Yep. And one more.
And then, but on just DC...
No.
I mean, I want to do all the DC.
We'll do a
DC, Titans.
We'll do a Marvel. We'll do a DC, and then we'll do a Marvel. Give me one more DC.
Right, well, you know. Look, here's the comedy. I don't like Deadpool. Mm. And yet, I made one for Diamond Select.
How'd it do?
In that three-pack. and I will make happily smiling make them for Marvel if they tell me to.
Okay. Migo, you mean?
It's simply a matter of, a matter of whatever they tell me to do, I'm going to get done.
So the bad news for me is I'm probably not going to see an Alan Scott or a Jay Garrick.
I'll see what I can do.
Well,
I mean, it's really how it comes out. You know, if back to the same topic,
right?
If fans want it and they pre-order, then we go to production.
Okay.
It doesn't take much for me to make a costume.
Who?
Yeah, you know, to make head, accessory, you know. Yep,
all of it. All of it. Mm-hmm. I've never been into costumes, and I'm just starting to get into costumes. I saw an Alan Scott that blew me away. I've seen a few Jay Garricks over the years, but I didn't like the helmet.
He used the Mattel Green Lantern head. I did in 2010.
I don't know. Oh, you did it.
Sculpt by Andy Cavolt.
Oh, that's another Mego guy.
Yeah, that was a Mattel. Yeah.
Who's your favorite customizer besides you?
I love Scott Metzinger.
Yeah.
Because he does everybody. He does the Legion of Superheroes. He does every Golden Age guy. I'm like, dude. Oh, by the way, he also did G.I. Joe.
Oh.
80s G.I. Joe.
That's cool.
With that, he sent us those to show to Hasbro.
Hmm. Okay.
And they stayed at Marty's house for a long time. And I kept saying, I got to get those back. And Marty's like, no, you're not. No, I'm keeping them.
This has been such a great interview, man. We got to wrap up in about 3 minutes. Is there anybody you want to give shout-outs to?
I'd say Joel Rosenzweig.
Okay.
Bruce Katz, the guy, my boss is at Mego, who put up with my crazy.
Nice.
You know, they every day these guys are in an office with me, and I'm gab talking on and on about all the minutia of superheroes, Star Trek, Planet of the Apes, and you know, and they're just like, who cares?
We care. Stop.
Shut up, nerd.
Yeah. No. I love
I'm the
you,
house
man.
Nerd.
I love you, brother. You have saved Mego, and I'm trying to do my part. I got to thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Check out Absolutely Retro, the Dr. Fate we just talked about, the Dead Man, Bizarro, and the Red Tornado are available for pre-order at absolutelyretro.com.
Bye. Dream.